Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello!
Hi. That's a
feel
clue.
Free to sample that.
Yeah, that's a clue for who our guest is.
Not really. Ethnically Ambiguous, I'm Anna.
And then this is Shireen. I've never struggled so much with my own name.
I just said Ethnically Ambiguous without saying this is Ethnically Ambiguous.
It's okay. This is a really fucked up intro.
This is another guest episode, which is what we do now.
Yeah!
And we are joined by a comedian, a hip-hop artist, a man who co-hosted New Negroes on Comedy.
Wait. No.
Was it on Comedy Central?
It was.
Okay.
Oh,
whoa.
Sorry.
You said no.
When you hesitated, I was like, wait.
Well, I was going to say,
I remember
Centrale.
Oh.
Like as if it's fancy, but.
Oh, well, like Tarjay.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. Okay.
And then
sorry.
You said no, and I was like, I've blacked out. All right. Great intro. All right, guys. Stay tuned. Open Mike Eagle is here, and it's
yeah!
a great goddamn show.
We had the best time. Please listen to the entire thing. Some really good gems in the end. Don't go anywhere.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi, Shireen.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Oh, no. Why did I say hi again? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited about today's episode.
Oh, man. Today's been a long time coming, kind of, I guess.
I think so. I've been wanting this guest for a long time.
Yeah, I feel like I have as well in the back of my mind. And then I invited him to Daily Zeitgeist, and I was like, wait, I should just invite him to do my show.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really glad you did. He's sitting right next to us. It's Open Mike Eagle!
Oh, good. I can stop pretending I'm not here.
I know. It's almost kind of
awkward. We do a tight 45 intro up top
where you have to be completely silent the whole time.
Nobody ever tells you to be quiet, but it's just assumed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when I'm on a podcast, I wait for someone to at least say my name.
Right.
And then I'm like, I'm here.
I often want to just outburst before that. I have to fight that urge.
I have the same urge.
Yeah.
Just to really shake things up.
Yeah, just to see how it goes.
Yeah, just to see the look on their face.
Fucked up.
You know?
Yeah,
that's all
you know?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing like just really messing with someone's vibe and seeing if they could bounce back. And you're like, well, why'd you even start a podcast, you know?
Yeah. I do so many things to purely see the reaction. And
you can't
I know
pivot.
I'm fucked up because that's
what are we doing here?
Exactly. And it's not even like it's streaming live or nothing. So, you know, they can just retake it.
I know.
Yeah.
And it'd be fine.
Exactly.
You know?
This one's live, though.
This one's
good.
Live. This is on the radio.
That's not scary at all.
No.
It's very
unedited. Yeah. We don't have any bleeps.
Can I say only curse words then?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. What's your favorite curse word?
Oh, like, I like when you put them together, like fuck shit. Dick fuck.
Yeah.
You know, ass shit. I don't know about that last one.
Ass shit.
Yeah, ass shit is not.
That sounds too literal.
It was a stretch.
You know,
yeah.
The shit ass.
I love shit ass.
Shit ass is better.
I love a multi cuss.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you
I
do
mean,
it.
I mean, dumb fuck is one of my favorites, but dumb isn't actually good. A curse word, but I just think it's a funny sounding word.
It
dumb fuck.
Is.
Yeah. I actually say shit ass a lot more.
Really?
Than I realize. I call everything shit ass.
So it's a noun for you.
Yeah, because I'm always like, these shit ass printers. I'm dealing with a lot of printer issues. Yeah.
Someone works in an office that has a real job.
Oh my God, these printers. These literal, truly shit ass printers in my life right now.
Yeah.
I have a child who we allow to curse every now and then.
Okay. How did you decide to do that? Like,
have a child?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's terrible
Walk
decisions.
Why?
but occasionally we allow him to curse.
Yeah. What's the kid's
so
favorite
bad
curse word?
He's so bad at it.
Does he like one in particular that he always says?
He likes them all.
Yeah.
Because they're all equally taboo. Mm-hmm. But this one time, we're like, okay, you can curse. And he goes, all right, let's fuck this party out.
That's
it
so
was
cute.
Amazing.
That is adorable.
Fuck this party out. You're like, okay, well, you're getting there little by little.
Fuck this party out.
Like, don't fuck the party out.
I wonder where he heard that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he heard it anywhere.
He
I think he heard
it
in his mind.
Yeah. Fuck this party out.
Yeah.
I grew up being able to curse. I think my parents are just so Iranian that they didn't really have a sense that we were cursing.
Mm. Like, my parents were the opposite. The S word was stupid.
Oh, really? You couldn't say stupid?
No. Yeah, that was not okay.
I could curse, but for some reason, my dad didn't like when I said things sucks. Because it doesn't suck.
Well, I get
that. He just wanted you to be positive.
Well, but I mean, but the thing about sucks is like it's like clean now, but like, I think when that was first introduced in the lexicon, it clearly meant like, you know,
it was kind of dirty.
Dick,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's like,
that's a dirty connotation for sure.
I think the first generation of parents who heard that had to, you know, bristle a little bit.
A little bit cringy,
maybe,
you know?
Maybe my parents just didn't understand. They were like, sucks is a bad word, but you can say fuck.
Because
we'd all be like, fuck! My dad would be like, oh, that's funny.
That is so weird.
My
parents
that
would
is
be
strange.
Opposite.
Yeah.
My dad cusses a lot in Farsi, though.
Oh.
Like, to a point where we have to, even I'm like, whoa.
What's the best Farsi curse word?
Oh, what's the best? There's a few that my dad throws around. There's gov, which means goat. Which is like,
really?
If you get called a gov by my dad, he is pissed.
So you're called a gov.
Yeah, he's like, you're acting like a goat.
Really
pedar sag is like father dog, which is like kind of like the opposite of like bitch.
Father dog.
You don't want to be called a pedar sag.
I think father dog sounds cool in English.
It sounds cool. It sounds like a malt liquor or something. That's good.
My mom was the one that cursed in our family. Or like, and when she would be like driving in the car and get upset, she'd like say something under her breath, then I'd remember it and say it later, and my dad would get so mad.
Well, he knew who to blame.
Yeah, he did. Good. Oh yeah, he did. Yeah. But in Arabic, I feel like there are similar curse words in English. Like, there's one that I really like is kiss immak or kiss immik, depending on who you're insulting. But it basically means your mom's vagina. Because kiss means vagina. So it's almost like the equivalent of motherfucker.
Oh.
I see.
And then kelbe, which is like equivalent of bitch, which means female dog.
Oh, okay.
But I think goat is interesting.
Oh, goat is. Goat,
yeah. Because it means like you eat trash.
Oh,
I think.
Oh.
I'm not sure where it came. Like, I don't know the genesis of why that's an insult.
We call a lot of people animals.
Yeah.
Because Arabic, there's dibbe, which is bear, which is just like you big buffoon.
Oh.
Dibbe or dib if it's a dude. Hamada. I mean, donkey is, I feel like, an insult.
Donkey in... Shit, what is donkey in Farsi? That's a big one.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like in every language, the donkey is, like, bullied.
Poor donkey.
I know.
Well, donkey is like, it's like the dope, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's okay. They can't hear us.
Oh. Every donkey's an Eeyore, you know?
I'm sad.
I get made fun of all the time.
It's because they know, yeah.
Okay, well... We could talk about this forever. I want to learn a little about you.
Okay.
Let's pretend most of the listeners, I mean, hopefully not most of them. Let's pretend like one listener doesn't know who you are.
Okay, I'll talk to that person.
Yeah. Where are
Hello,
they, where
you donkey.
You grow up?
I grew up in Chicago.
Okay. How was that like?
Oh, God. It was the 80s, so it was crazy. And it was the South Side, and it was like all ghetto and projects in the hood, and like the crack era was happening. It was very dangerous all the time, everywhere.
Whoa.
Everywhere was fucking dangerous. It was really a lot. Like, oh man, one story I like to tell all the time is that one time when I was in third grade at my normal third grade ass elementary school, there was this kid. He was in the back of the room and he was leaning in his chair. And then we just heard this giant crash. And we all turned around, and like he was just like, out.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no.
And they took this kid to the hospital and found out his little third grade system was filled with cocaine.
Oh, my God.
What? Filled with cocaine.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, like, the whole rest of that week, instead of, like, curriculum, we just did, like, dare shit. Oh, we just did, damn. Like, drug education, like,
holy
the
shit.
Whole rest of that week.
So was it implied that he was doing the cocaine because it was just available?
Yeah, it's probably the kind of thing where like an older sibling was just selling a bunch of it and he got into it kind of thing.
It looks like sugar, you know, from that age. Oh, you know what I mean? Like I'm trying to imagine being a third grader and being like, what's this white pile of weird things that everyone likes?
True, but like I feel like at that age when you kind of have to grow up fast, you are like, well, he probably had some sense of what it was and was like, it's a drug and I'm old enough to do a drug. Yeah. I'm cool. Right. I want to be like my siblings or my parents or whatever.
I think it was probably some partaking and sharing type shit. It was crazy. It was a crazy up, time. Man. Yeah.
Because that story starts off as like it's a normal kid leading
And then it's like, oh, wait a minute.
With a twist.
This is very different.
I thought maybe it was just a poor desk
situation. Poor chair.
That's a twist.
The chair was filled with cocaine.
It did test. Cocaine chair.
Chair had termites. That's why it broke. Well, I mean, growing up in that environment, did that make you grow up fast, you think? Or
that was weird. I got, like, sheltered.
That's good.
So
I don't know.
It was, you know, it was good in that I didn't die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was good.
I'm glad because you're sitting right here.
Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to, like, go outside a lot. So, like, that was kind of weird.
What tactics did your parents use for you? Because my parents use video games to keep us inside.
Oh, God. See, I had two televisions in my bedroom.
Ooh, wow, that is a tactic.
And cable was on one, and my Nintendo was on the other.
That's the life.
But, yeah, seriously, I didn't want to fucking go anywhere.
Yeah.
But that also meant that I was learning about the world through 80s and 90s cable television, which was also weird in its own and dangerous in its own way.
Yeah.
That's interesting. My parents would not get us a Nintendo for a long time,
really?
And they were just like, go outside and play.
Yeah.
But I was in the Bay Area. It was kind of, the area we were younger wasn't great, and that's kind of why my brother was such a troublemaker. But like, and then I think it was weird. It's like at one point my parents like realized like, oh, is he in a gang? And I would be like snitching on him like, oh no, but he's hanging out with some scary people. One guy who always would pretend to sic his pit bull on me and it would devastate me.
Well, I mean, how what's the difference between sick pretending and actually doing it?
Well, he would just hold him back with his leash, but the dog would definitely probably attack me if he got off the leash.
God. Oh my God.
That's a terrifying experience.
That's scary for
Oakland,
me.
You know? It's, when I was young, I'd be like, this guy sucks. And I would run inside and be like, Mom! And she'd be like,
and your dad would get mad because you said he sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he doesn't suck. He just, you know, comes from different circumstances than you. And I'm like, we all live in the same neighborhood. I don't feel like I should feel threatened by someone's dog. Dog who thinks it's funny to like pretend to like have, well, not pretend, but just tell him to attack me, but then.
Yeah, that's not fun.
And I'd be like, my brother's friends suck. Like, literally, they suck. But I don't know. I don't know. My parents just didn't want us on the TV.
Yeah.
We
only had one TV, but I feel like.
It's a good tactic to keep you inside.
Yeah, it's a good tactic. And my parents are immigrants. They have three girls. And I think that kind of made them extra protective because there's just, especially in Middle Eastern culture, like you really have to like protect your girls. And so we didn't like, I didn't realize how sheltered I was until I was like in high school though.
Where were you?
I was mostly in San Diego. Okay. I was born in Anaheim. So a lot of Orange County, some bad neighborhoods in San Diego, bad neighbors in Orange County. But like I settled in like a suburban part when I was like in middle school and high school. But I didn't know how sheltered I was until I would, like, get a little older and start realizing, like, I didn't know shit.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Was there a moment that you realized, like, at a certain age or a certain, like, I don't know, like, interaction that you were, like...
I can remember when I was a kid, I went, one of my few social outings, it was to some friend's pizza party at Chuck E. Cheese when it was still Showbiz Pizza in like the fucking early 90s. And I remember they brought the pizza out and I had a slice of pizza. And then I wanted another slice of pizza. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know how to ask. I didn't understand like the proper social grace to like request an additional slice of pizza from these people who like weren't my family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was just at a loss and it was just kind of sitting there like.
That's paralyzing.
Just thinking pizza, just not knowing what word to say.
Just hoping someone's going to read your mind.
Yeah, I was. I was hoping somebody read my mind.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was
doing.
What
did your parents do?
Well, okay. I grew up with my grandparents.
Okay.
Because my mom was a wild lady. Uh-huh. She was doing stuff other than parenting.
Yeah.
And my dad was actually always out here in L.A. Like, they were never, like, together.
Mm-hmm.
What was your dad doing out here?
He was just living, I guess. He married a wife, my stepmom, when I was fairly young, and they just lived out here. And yeah. I would come out here and, like, visit, you know what I mean, for, like, summers or holidays or whatever. But I lived in Chicago with my mom's parents.
Mm. But you were the only child from them.
Yes, but I also lived with my sister, who's my half-sister.
God.
Yeah, we grew up together.
From your mom's side?
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. And she was older?
Younger.
Mm-hmm. How was that? Was she also sheltered?
Yeah, but she wanted to be out more than me. Okay. Nintendo couldn't hold her. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, she wanted to be outside.
Yeah.
So she was more good at that than me.
Okay.
Yeah. Was being raised by your grandparents, did that make you feel any type of certain way at school?
I mean, yeah, when it came to, like, forms and shit, mm-hmm. it would say, like, mom's name and be like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that sort of thing and all that. Oh, guardian. Okay,
yeah.
Like, that type of thing. But, you know, it other than that, it wasn't.
That's good.
It wasn't.
Yeah,
bad.
It didn't make you feel strange or anything.
Nah, I mean, I just felt strange.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
That
who
wasn't
doesn't
the reason.
Feel strange?
I mean, I felt strange because I couldn't go outside.
Yeah.
You know, not because it was grandma and grandpa instead of mom and dad, you know?
Okay. Well, let's fast forward a little bit. You're in high school.
Uh huh.
You're at that age where everyone's like, what do you want to do when you grow up?
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
What was your thoughts? What were your thoughts in your head?
I wanted to be a psychologist because we had a psychology class in our high school, and it was the dopest shit ever to me.
Yeah.
To, like, go to a class where the field of study is the type of shit that I just thought about all the time anyway. I was like, oh, this. Like,
we,
like, watched One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and, like, that was a class. I'm like, yes, this is what I would like to do.
Yeah.
I feel like I was pretty confused before that, but then, like, after that, it was, oh, pretty clearly this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? That's cool.
Is that what you thought about when you went to, like, college?
Yeah, so, you know, I graduated with a degree in psychology. Like, I was going to do that. I was going to be a counseling psychologist. I had this whole fucking weird career mapped ahead of me, and I just moved out here instead and said, fuck all of it, you know?
Where did you go to college?
Southern Illinois University.
Okay. And so after that, you were like, I'll just go to LA.
Well, okay. When I graduated, I wanted to do this thing called music therapy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Which I was just delighted to even realize was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I started to apply for music therapy programs, I was told that you had to have a background in music to participate.
Like formal music theory.
You had to have
stuff.
That sort of shit.
Yeah.
And so me and my rapping and breakdancing and beat, they wasn't with none
that
of that
didn't
shit.
Count?
No, that's it didn't. It probably still don't.
That's so elitist.
But you know how Ivory Tower shit works. So I was like, oh shit, I didn't take any like GRE or anything to get like get into a regular program.
Yeah.
So I devised this plan by which I would like take a year off and do AmeriCorps out here in L.A. And then I would join my mentor professor, who was a counseling psychologist, and he was leaving SIU and went to Mizzou. So I was supposed to join him there in a year. And I just did not do any of that after I got here. Just completely turned left.
What was there something that influenced your pivot?
Well, the first thing was that I tried to do AmeriCorps for a year, which is not a thing. I don't know if y'all know what AmeriCorps is. But it's basically it's paid community service.
Right.
But it's like slave wages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they were paying me like $900 a month to be on call literally 24/7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, what was the program?
It was the AmeriCorps Vista program where you get assigned to be like the slave of a nonprofit.
Mm.
Like you're like their they're
they get like a shitty stipend.
Yeah, they're subsidized errand boy.
Yeah.
So do people usually stick it out just to get like that notch on their experience?
Get the notch. You get this bonus thing after that. But it was just like, I was doing it for months, and it was like, okay, because I was like living with my dad. I'm like, okay, this is fine. I'll just do this. This is all a plan anyway. But then the organization I was with, they had two employees. One of them was like on maternity leave, like the entire time I was there. Mm-hmm. And then she ended up leaving.
Oh.
And they could have hired me, and they did not.
Oh.
I was like, well, fuck this.
Let's go
get a fucking job. Yeah. So I just went and got a job. And then that was basically it. Like, oh, I'm not tied to that program. I don't have to, it's just everything kind of went sideways from there.
Yeah.
And so, then I started actually trying to do music
and shit. So did your grandparents ever try and encourage you to do anything, or were they kind of like, go forth, Mike?
Well.
Do what you must.
Okay, my grandma died when I was in eighth grade.
Okay.
And that was just like a turning point in life anyway. So the whole time I was in high school, I was living with my mom.
Oh, okay.
Which was wild and weird.
Yeah.
Every day of that was crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, that was the end of, like, parental guidance, really. It was just, like...
Ironically enough, it was, like, must have been strange to be, like, I don't know, on the precipice of adulthood and, like, living with your mom for maybe the first time in a long time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it went from being, like, this very, like, stable, caring, supportive environment to just, like, kind of on your own. Just don't get arrested.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't get shot. Like... Mm-hmm. You know, I got a job and was doing that whole thing. And, I was kind of on my own even though I was there.
Yeah.
And so that kind of set me up for college and everything else to follow,
Yeah. Was your grandpa like, all right, Mike,
weird story about that. After grandma died, me and my sister learned that grandpa was not biological grandpa. He was just guy grandma had been dating for 15 years.
Oh, that is a trip.
Yeah.
Good for so, grandma.
so grandpa was like, I don't know y'all like that.
Wait, really?
I mean, like, it wasn't. That's still like, we still got love to this day.
Yeah.
But certainly he was ready to like
relinquish the responsibility.
Yeah, he didn't really want to hold on to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, did you feel genuine, like, fatherly, like, paternal support
from
him?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. And, protection, nurture, all of that, for sure.
That's hilarious, though. As soon as she's gone, like, you're out too, man.
Got something to tell you.
Yeah, it was, well, he didn't even ever tell us. I think my mom ended up telling us.
That's not my dad.
But it made sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His attitude shift made some sense.
He's like, all right, pack it up.
I'm gonna look him up and it's gonna be like a white guy. And I'm like, this definitely made sense, Mike. Yeah, it made sense. I'm just kidding.
That's hilarious.
But so you were interested in music since you were a kid then, as from what you're telling us, right?
Yeah, I mean, just as a consumer, I was just enthralled by music. Yeah, since like from my earliest memories, just like music has just always just been very, it just had like this intense effect on me. And so I didn't ever really think about making music until like I got into hip-hop, like super into hip-hop.
When was this?
High school.
Yeah.
So what were you listening to in your youth? For that,
I was watching a lot of MTV.
Okay.
So really that, like, and I was listening to various radio stations, but really it was like MTV that was like guiding my consumption
at
the time. Like whatever they were playing, I was at least checking out and seeing if I was into. So that was everything from Yo MTV Raps to fucking Headbangers Ball. I was fucking with it.
Yeah. Know? Do you remember like sitting down and being like, I'm gonna try to make a song? Or like, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to write a verse or whatever. Like, what was that?
When I started rapping?
What was the point where you started creating rather than just consuming?
Okay, well, in high school in Chicago, what was going on in the hip-hop space, like for the city on the south side where I grew up, like there were these people, there was a community of people, like they are the hip-hoppers, quote-unquote, like... They are the people in the hip-hop community. And this was – it's kind of different than now because hip-hop now is just kind of like this broad term.
Mm-hmm.
But then it meant something really specific. It meant like they were people – these were people who dressed a certain way and they met up and they rapped in cyphers. They did graffiti, they breakdanced, they DJed, and like when me and like my small group of friends in high school discovered this, it was just like everything changed. Mm. Like we all were kind of like fucking wayward socially. I think all of us to some degree had been sheltered in various ways.
Yeah.
And all of us were just like, this is what the fuck we want. Like now we have purpose.
Yeah.
Now we have this meritocracy we can belong to.
Right.
Where if we like get good at shit, suddenly we have social status.
Yeah.
There's a uniform basically. Yeah. Like we're all in wearing weird visors and fucking North Face jackets and shit.
Yeah.
Like it was it just
in North
Face. Yeah. It gave us
I think you're still dressed like that.
A little bit. Yeah. Well, like variations, but yeah. that's the foundation. But, you know, it just really gave us this solid kind of social foundation and world to completely throw our confused little selves into.
Yeah.
And so, you know, upon discovering this and upon discovering the value that, like, the belief in that subgroup that, like, if you're doing, like, you can't just dress like this.
Yeah.
Like, if you're around us, you have to do the things.
Walk.
Or else we don't even fuck with you like that unless you do the things. So that meant we had to start rapping.
Yeah.
We had to start doing graffiti. We had to start breakdance. We couldn't afford turntables, but, you know, we would have DJed too if it were available to us. So we just started creating right then.
That's
all
amazing.
Of us just started creating. It was like five of us that just really.
I'm assuming all dudes. Can I assume?
No, one woman.
Okay.
One girl.
Well, fuck yeah. I'm a jackass.
I totally get it.
I was trying to think of a way to articulate that. Like it must have been a really amazing outlet.
Oh my god.
Because creatively, emotionally, I think it's just a way, a catharsis.
Absolutely.
You know?
It was a receptacle for all of these feelings and thoughts, and you know, suddenly you just had like a pathway. Like even it didn't necessarily fucking lead anywhere. It was just like, oh my God, there's so much stuff I can do now.
Yeah.
So much
stuff
I want to do now. Like, like I want to practice doing my tag in my notebook.
Yeah.
All
and it's all
day.
Self-expression.
It is.
Which is beautiful.
It is.
Speaking of expressing ourselves, I'm going to express that we go to an ad break.
Ad break.
Nice.
Sorry, I tried so hard. Okay, we'll be right back.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years, and not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
And we're back!
Yeah, I was going to say, in regards to tagging, one of my favorite things, well, I wasn't a notorious tagger in my town or anything, but one of my me and my friends started to do is we started to make stencils to tag with.
Oh my God,
and that was like, that was like huge. Like we were like, we're the stencil crew. I would have had like the dumbest things.
I would make stencils for shirts and bags. I wasn't doing it on walls, but I was someone that would like spray paint shirts, spray paint my bags. I was like an X-Acto knife was always in my bag.
I thought I was so cool. Like
you were
I had a
rebel stenciler.
Yeah, I had like a vagina stencil I made.
Whoa! Oh, that's so sick.
Yeah, and then I had US of tits. That was my
tag. Oh my God. Wait, I love that.
US of tits. I still see it. Sometimes when I go home, I'll see like random places I tagged
it. I love that.
And there's also, I tagged my parents' garage. It's under, my mom put the foot mat
over it because she's like, I don't want to see that. Why'd you tag our house?
That's hilarious.
You tagged to your own house. It's a garage on the floor. Yeah,
that's my mom really funny.
I was like, yeah, that's cool. And then my mom one day was like, I am going to beat your ass because I saw something on the ground that you are not allowed to tag in the house. And I was like, it's the garage. It's cement.
Yeah.
So now there's a
the U.S. of tits. I love that.
I did some dumb shit like that too. Yeah. Me and one of my buddies, like my mom was like out all night, and we were like, and he spent the night over my house, and we decided to wake up overnight,
yeah,
and go practice our tags in the gangway between the building we lived in and the next. It was like we didn't even go a block down. No. We're literally
wanting
like
to get caught.
Yeah, it was so stupid. Yeah. I was so.
But you feel invincible back then. I mean, when you're a kid or even like a teenager, I feel like there's an element of invincibility that we don't really like. I remember like speeding on the freeway. Like it's just like little things that like I looking back, I'm like, I was a dumbass. Like why? Yeah.
You're getting your kicks. You're like
feeling thrills and shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but. Okay, so you're in LA at this point. Let's go there.
Okay.
And you're making music. I think you said you mentioned like you started to seriously make music, like trying to pursue it. Is that what you mentioned?
Yeah. In like 2008, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Okay. What was that experience like being in LA and like being surrounded by people that like a lot of them want the same things you do? I feel like, right?
Yeah. I had fortunately traced that line of like the hip-hop community, like the DIY kind of community, like, and I've found the people here who were like a part of that, and I kind of just embedded myself in that, and like those people were all making careers in ways that were like very attainable for me and like very communal. Like I could go on tour with them, they would show me how to do their merch, they would show me how to put albums in stores.
They're supportive.
Yeah, like and mostly just because the way that community works is that you need new generations to kind of keep it going. Like you need the context of new people. It helps.
That's really like, that's lovely. That's
I mean, it was, you know, it was shitty sometimes. It was like real shitty sometimes too. Cause like,
you especially know, if there's not a lot of money in it and you're
exactly
struggling.
Yeah, and we'd end up, you know, when money did come in, it changed shit sometimes, you know, but they did give me like the tools. So I didn't have to, like, come out here and try to, like, dream. You know what I mean? I could actually, like...
It looked attainable to you.
Yeah, I could take skills I already had, combine them with skills that they gave me, and actually, like, start to make a career. Now, the drawback to that is that, like, oh, I can look up in 5 years, I've put out a couple DIY albums and done a bunch of DIY tours, and that shit doesn't look good. You know what I mean? Like, you fucking playing...
You mean on paper? Like, if someone, it doesn't look good on paper, or just, like, in the context of L.A.?
Well, just the metrics, right? So, like, if you're doing DIY touring and nobody knows who you are, when you book a show in Reno, Nevada, in a room that holds 500 people and 10 people show up, it doesn't look good. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, that venue remembers that you didn't do well.
Yeah.
And you can create this kind of paper trail of failure.
Yeah.
If you continue doing DIY kind of the same way.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's pros and cons to it. Like, so it's in one sense, it does seem more attainable and you're not just everything's not pie in the sky. But like you can do it in ways that can hurt your ability to like join the industry proper.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like I always think of comedians always say, don't start in L.A. because you don't want an agent or manager or whoever, some industry monster to see you too young and be like, sorry, I saw them once. There's no way they could possibly get better.
You're like, okay, everything's high stakes out here.
It is.
Yeah. Do you still interact with anyone from that original kind of Chicago hip hop scene?
I mean, my closest friends.
Oh, yeah.
Like those same guys
and
gal that we started with. Like, those are my closest friends in the world to this day.
That's cool. Yeah.
I love that.
I was hanging
a lot.
Out with them last weekend.
And did they all slowly come out to L.A. too, or
no,
they dispersed?
No, they're all still in Chicago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. You're the one, like, you're the one that went to the West Coast.
Yeah, I did.
But you kind of had like a little bit of experience here with your dad when you were a kid.
So, exactly.
So it wasn't like you were like a complete transplant.
Exactly. I wasn't coming out here cold.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of knew some things, so it made it a little easier.
You also had some place to go that you could fall back on, which is nice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a giant luxury for me at the time.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to pivot and discuss. We're pivoting.
Pivoting.
I love that word for some reason.
It's a great word. It just it sounds exactly what it means.
Yeah.
It like sounds like what it describes. Yeah. Like a pivot. You're just like on your heel and you pivot.
Yeah, it makes me think of basketball too. I don't know.
It's a pivot foot. Yeah. I could dig it.
When did you start like kind of hanging out in the comedy scene and getting into that?
Okay. That starts So, okay, if we go back to me being sheltered.
Okay.
And me learning about life through television.
Yeah.
So a lot of when there's no cartoons on, which is what I was always looking for.
Yeah.
But that was only literally like before school, after school, Saturday mornings, that's it. There wasn't even like Cartoon Network or no shit like that then. Yeah, exactly. It was fucking rough.
Blasphemy.
So if it wasn't cartoons, and, you know, I'm always checking into MTV and seeing what's going on there. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's just me watching anything comedy related on television. Mm-hmm. Anything. Mm-hmm. Anything. And that's like every 80s and 90s primetime sitcom to like Nick at Night sitcoms from the 50s and 60s as they were rerunning to like, you know, half hour comedy hour on MTV and all like the specials that would be on HBO, like fucking Elaine Boozler and Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah,
and like just whatever. Like I would devour comedy because it had this dual use for me. Like for one, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
And two, literally I was learning about the world.
Yeah.
Through people's jokes. And like I watched fucking Gallagher specials on Showtime. I fucking loved Gallagher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
He's smashing shit.
Yeah.
And he says like he did like most of his jokes were about how absurd the English language is.
Yeah.
And like he's not really remembered for that.
Yeah.
But like that, you know, like I don't know, like shit which was all doing a lot for me. You know?
It was educational but also hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have this foundation of just like always really being into comedy. If you fast forward to college, right? So college was a wild time for me. At one point, I was an RA.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
You were.
Yeah. I was an RA for a year to pay for my room and board.
Exactly. So I was an RA for 2 years, like, because before that, I was homeless. So I was like, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
One of my residents was Hannibal.
Oh, my gosh. No shit.
Yeah.
What a small world.
And I was Hannibal's RA.
You write him up?
No, I don't like nobody. I was the worst RA.
Dude, my staff hated me.
Yes,
my
too.
Residents loved me. My staff hated
my
me.
My head resident was always giving me the
oh my
fucking
God,
glare.
Me
like,
too.
Oh, everybody was perfect in your dorm again this month. Okay.
I still talk to some of my residents. They loved me.
Oh,
and my
true.
Staff was just the most uptight. Most of them, not all of them. There are a few
of
them.
Well, those people
were great,
are fucking cops.
Yes. You know what they're I mean? Like, meet your quota.
Yeah, like, what? Shut up. I'm smoking with my residents. Leave me the fuck alone.
I was like, let them have fun.
Right. But I was Hannibal's RA, like, the week he started doing comedy.
Oh.
Like, he was just talking to me. He was like, yeah, I'm just going to do this. I went, okay. And then he, like, went somewhere and, like, got his, like, first tape of him doing comedy.
Oh.
And he, like, showed it to me. And I'm like, oh, this is fucking good.
Yeah.
And I said, you kind of sound like Mitch Hedberg. And he's like, who's Mitch Hedberg? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I like, because I started downloading music like a crazy person. And so I was, like, downloading a bunch of comedy shit, too. I had, like, a fucking hard drive full of, like, George Carlin and Mitch Hedberg.
You were, like,
and
an encyclopedia.
Oh, yeah, all of that shit. Yeah. You know, like, just, you know, it was fucking the beginning of broadband.
LimeWire.
Yeah, like, all of that shit. It's like Napster,
yeah,
SoulSeek,
yeah.
Audio Galaxy, all of these old fucking virus factories. But, you know, you could just download all this fucking music and comedy. So,
yeah.
You know, I remember showing him these comics and you know, he of course ended up, you know, killing it in that world. But if you fast forward past that to here in LA at UCB, you know, they do ASCAT.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the monologist, and occasionally the monologist is a musician. Mm-hmm. And a buddy of mine was like, hey, you should do that. You mm-hmm. you make songs. You should do them there and have them mm-hmm. do the improv off of your songs.
Yeah.
And like, the first time I did that shit, it was incredible.
Nice.
It was incredible. Like, not only did that crowd really, like, eat my shit up in ways that I wasn't used to, because I'm used to, like, performing my songs for, like, super hardcore rap audiences. Give a fuck about half the shit I'm talking about, honestly.
Yeah.
To where, like, I'm performing for this crowd and, like, everything that I think should be funny, they're laughing at and shit. I'm like, oh, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know.
You found your audience.
I did. I definitely found an audience that was really fucking receptive.
That could appreciate, like, your lyrics and, like, the little nuances. Because I think your lyrics are amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, I try
to put a lot of thought into
your lyrics. And, I mean, like, I just think there is something really special about your brand of, like, I don't know. What is it? Like, it's amazing music and amazing lyrics, and there's like a underlying satire to it that I really, really, really dig. It's
Thank you. And I do put a lot of thought into that, but I was in a world where that shit was not appreciated at all. So like going in front of that audience, they were super receptive to it. And like the improvisers who were like, this is like Matt Besser and Sean Conroy and like it's all like these like fucking Jedi master fucking improviser dudes were like, hey, come do my show. You know what I mean? I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, oh, this is fucking awesome. And so I think the second time I did that, I made sure I had it like videotaped so I could like show other shows I was trying to get on. And I remember like cold emailing Paul F. Tompkins to see if he'd fuck with it. And he did. You know what I mean? Like, and so like doing the UCB shows and really doing a lot of like shows with Paul F. Tompkins when he was like really actively doing a bunch of shit in Largo and he would have me on those. Those were like really the beginnings of me like having a foothold in that world. You know, or this world.
That's amazing. So you hustled. You hustled.
I did. And I took some gambles and they paid off and shit. But it was all kind of guided by like, oh, my shit works in this audience.
It lands. It lands.
Exactly.
The first time I heard about you, I moved to LA in like 2013 and I started going to comedy shows regularly, mostly because Anna was booking them and I would just like meet her every week. But then there was one, I was like doing some stand up and I went to an open mic by Marcella Arguello at the Comedy Store. And you either were one of the listed performers or maybe it was like open mic or just, it was just some show that you were at and I was introduced to you and you killed it. And I was like, that was the first time I had seen someone use music in comedy.
Oh shit, that was that Michael Jackson show did.
Yes.
Holy shit, that show was dope. Yeah, David Bory.
That's the show. It wasn't open mic. Sorry. I was getting confused with all the shows I would
see. Fucking amazing.
That was the first time I saw you. And you made such an impression. I never forgot that performance. I never forgot like this amazing like union of music and comedy, and it wasn't like you were just like doing ironic like fucking I don't know the Lonely Island music. It was like genuine good music with amazing lyrics.
Thank you.
Not that the Lonely Island isn't good. I'm just saying it's like a different brand of like music comedy.
I'm not like typically, or at least more often than not, I'm not trying to make comedy rap.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make rap music that I think is good, but it has like some comedy in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That show was amazing.
You know what I always remember about that show is, and like I feel like a week after that, I was doing a show in Chicago at the Laugh Factory that I got put on. Dave Hellum and Scott Felonious Monk were doing. And I did so well with those songs at that Comedy Store show. I'm trying to do the same ones at this Chicago.
It didn't work.
This shit bombed so hard.
Laugh Factory.
That
seems
shit
tough.
Was hilarious. Like, it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Laugh Factory seems sterile anyway.
Yeah, I mean I don't like that environment in general, but I just remember being like, "Oh, okay. I've heard about this."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You bombed.
Oh, I bombed hard.
Like, welcome to the club.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow, I have no memory of how I know you. I just know you in my head.
Feel like we've just, you know.
We've just been around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like just rubbed elbows a bunch.
Like probably first time I saw you would be Meltdown. Probably. In my mind.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay. Wow. I mean, I think I only did that once. Maybe?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Only once.
Were you ever hanging out?
A couple times. A couple times. I would do shit at Nerd Melt, but it wasn't often Meltdown. It'd be like other shows that were happening.
Oh, okay, so you were doing Nerd Melt. Okay, that's what I. Okay, then I know you from Nerd Melt.
Yeah.
Not just. I say Meltdown to encompass it all. I see. Yes, Meltdown. What a mess. But Nerd Melt. That's how I feel like I saw you because I can't place some exact memory because you never. It was only because it was so different, I think, that I remembered it so vividly.
Yeah.
But for you, like, is it like more of a challenge or is it not having, I mean, like, if you're a straight up comedian, at least you have like, I don't know, maybe an inspiration or like someone that you look up to as a comedian. But I feel like you're like, you kind of are making your own path in that genre. Like, you know, is that hard for you or do you think it's like an exciting thing to kind of pioneer?
You know, it's kind of just reflective of more like how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't feel like I solidly belong in the rap community. I don't feel like I solidly belong in the comedy community. Mm-hmm. I just feel like Like, I feel like as a human being, I'm just a sum of some weird-ass experiences that make a person that doesn't quite make sense. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like what I do kind of reflects that, too.
Yeah.
And because of that, I can kind of move between the worlds and kind of adjust some levers. Like, oh, I'm doing this comedy show. Let me do these songs. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm doing this straight-up music show. Let me do these songs.
I really admire that you don't ever 100% pick one side, because I really, I don't know, as someone that dabbles in a lot of things, it's, like, refreshing to see someone that, like, genuinely excels at these two creative outlets and then unifies them. Did you ever feel like you had to choose?
I mean, I guess I feel like, I don't feel like I have to choose, but I feel like I do have to come up with an easier way to explain to people what the fuck I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like I have to like solidly be one thing or the other thing, but I do feel like I need to, I need better context for myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, outside of Open Mic, where did Open Mic Eagle come from?
My name is Michael Eagle.
Right, I knew that,
So, like...
I mean, it's a great name.
Well, it works. It's my dad's name, too, so it always felt, like, kind of lame to me.
Open Mic Eagle the second.
Like my father before me. Yeah. Just from college, like, you know, once I became kind of like a rap guy in high school, like, I was just a rap guy for all my life. So, a freestyle guy. Like, I would freestyle everywhere and all the time. And people just started calling me Open Mic in college because I used to just rap everywhere.
Mm. Oh. So you're always doing an open mic in a way.
I was.
Yeah.
And
that pun just made sense to me. And for the first time.
Well, I had a feeling that's what it was, but then I was like, what if I'm completely off?
No, you know, it's funny because my original stage name was just going to be Open Mic, but then like there's like five other dudes called.
Really?
I learned really really quickly on MySpace.com that there were other open mics, and they were not afraid to tell me that it was their name.
Okay. Wow. Aggro MySpace people.
It was. I had this one guy this open mic who rapped out of Germany. This guy used to come promote his shit on my page. Like, he would drop a song and come post it, like,
oh my God,
to my page. And I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
He was really utilizing your platform.
He was utilizing my platform, yes. He really was.
That's a trip.
Yeah, but that's why, that's shit like that is why there's an eagle.
Yeah. I think it flows, though. Like, I think your name has a certain ring to it that, like, it just makes, like, it's memorable, and Open Mic Eagle.
It works. You know? It does work, but I kind of backed into it, you know. It wasn't a super intentional choice.
Right.
It just kind of worked.
We're going to take one more break. We'll be right back with Open Mic Eagle.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Okay, we're back. Okay, so I recently saw you on The New Negroes. Mm-hmm. You host that with Baron Vaughn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
So New Negroes has been a project of his for... Oh, man, it's for like, I don't want to say many years right now, but it's feel like it's been like 8-9 years.
Well, I saw it, I want to say like
4 years ago at Bridgetown.
Yeah, that's where he started.
Okay, okay.
So, and that, I think he did it for like 2 or 3 years there before I was even involved.
Okay.
It was just like, it was his showcase at Bridgetown.
Right.
But it kept going so well that he wanted to like expand it into like, you know, like not quite a troupe, but, you know, he just had these big plans for it. And originally, it was going to be like a small group of us that he wanted to be like, okay, like just like the original New Negro book was this anthology of like, you know, the writers and thinkers of the time. Like he wanted to make it where the New Negroes were this group of people. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, it ended up just being me and him, you know, being, motherfuckers was busy and shit.
You stuck around.
Yeah, I did. And then, you know, he had me to start doing it in Bridgetown with him, and we started doing it in festivals all over the place. And then we started doing the monthly here that we've been doing for, shit, almost 3 years now.
Where do you guys do it now?
We're doing it at the Virgil now. We were at UCB for a while. We're doing it at the Virgil now.
Nice. That's a great venue.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good, especially, you know, with music and comedy together. And
yeah.
It works real well.
100%. Yeah.
They got that Star Is Born stage.
Oh, yeah. So, I forget that all the time.
That's so weird.
I know, isn't it? I was doing a show. The first show I ever worked on was at the Virgil.
And then, when it was still the Little Temple then?
No. Really? No, it was probably 2014. Okay. I started producing live comedy in towards mid-2013.
Okay.
And then, but really... Yeah, it was 2013, 2014.
That's the closest venue I have to my house. I can walk there. So I'm just, I feel like I have been there so much over the past
however many years. That's good, because then you don't have to try to park there.
Yeah, exactly.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I've never had that experience.
Dude, you go down a little on, is it Virgil or Santa Monica? I think it's Santa Monica. You go down, you try and hit those two loading only spots. That's my trick every time. Because they built a gate on that goddamn
they
behind
did.
The thing.
They did. That shit's so fucked up.
Oh, it's really funny.
Also, you keep it for the Dub Lab bros. They all so high. Why do you think I walk here?
No, the first time I went there, I didn't know I was so close.
No, I get you. Yeah. I get it. It's weird. It's a weird situation up there.
No, I didn't know I was so close the first time I went, and I just put it in my GPS, and I was there in like 30 seconds. And I was like, oh, I'm a dumbass.
I was like, oh, I live here.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is just underneath my building. No, I'm kidding. I want to talk a little bit about your music videos.
Okay.
Because the ones I've seen are so good.
Okay. And you haven't seen the bad ones. That's good.
I mean, maybe you're just extra. Maybe you're being harsh. But like,
no, just some terrible ones. Really, because I've learned. I've learned why that happens.
Well, the first one that I really loved. I remember seeing it. I don't know, maybe last year, or the year before. But like 95 Radios.
Oh, I love that one.
That one. Fucking, it's so good. And like, I'm a filmmaker, and when I watch that, I like rewatched it multiple times because I just like love the way the camera moved. And just like, the first time I watched it, I wasn't expecting the camera to be given to the kid, and then everything. I was just,
director, yeah. Carla Duat, I forget how to pronounce her last name, I think it's Duaden. That was her entire concept and execution.
It was so good.
And she murdered that shit on a very slim budget. She really fucking kicked ass.
I really admire that kind of filmmaking style. Yeah. You make with what you have, and it's so good. Yeah. And there's something about your music videos that I've seen that also kind of incorporates comedy.
Yeah, I try to.
Which I really
for sure.
like. Yeah. It's, I don't know. And then I wanted to shout out the one that I saw from October, you directed.
Yes.
That must have been an interesting experience for you.
Ooh, that shit. Okay, look. So, yeah, creatively, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was a weird, weird business thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is always going to fuck up how I think of that video.
Oh, really?
Because, it was this company that was trying to, it was a pretty big corporation that was trying to do this program where they partner with musicians to, make content to market their shit or whatever. Yeah. So I'm like minding my own business, and they're like, "Hey, we'll give you X amount and do this for us," and you know, and then we made it, and they just didn't pay us.
Oh no!
For the longest time,
so they made you front, and then
yeah, they gave us half a front.
Okay.
And then you know we do the thing, and then we turn it in, and we're supposed to get the other half in like fucking a week, and then it months.
That sucks.
And we leveraged all of our relationships with people in town that we work with to try to get this thing done. And they're like, trusting that we're telling the truth and we're not trying to fucking stiff them and, and we're getting the runaround from this giant fucking company. Like it was soul crushing.
I hate that.
You know what I mean?
I hate when an experience taints a creative project. That's happened to me multiple times. And even if the project turns out like good, it's tainted.
It's hard to divorce yourself from like the emotions of the entire, and I think that like if this had been a different kind of interview, I'd have been like, "Yeah, it was great," you know what I mean? But like, you know,
but we're here to flame people.
I mean, I will say with that song is called "Ghost."
Single ghost.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Thanks.
I think you did a really good job. It's for you guys should go watch it on YouTube, but it's basically like an homage to like 80s style kind of like,
it's like what you're watching as a kid.
Exactly.
Hearing you talk about that made sense when I thought about the video, like in real time as you were talking. I was paying attention to what you were saying, but I was also thinking in my head. But you guys should go watch it. I think you did such a good job.
Thank you.
With this, like, I don't know, just like the costumes were great. The sets were funny and like, it was just...
Yeah, we'll link the YouTube page below.
Please do.
Yeah. You'll see it. You'll see it. Watch his music videos.
Creatively.
So good.
Creatively, I was very proud of that. I really did enjoy directing. Mm-hmm. It was my first time doing it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I enjoyed being able to like execute a vision.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like that. So, I mean, that was super cool. And I do want people to like watch it and enjoy it. And shit,
yeah. You know, it's very enjoyable.
You think you'll direct more?
I don't know. I feel cursed now.
Oh, no.
Well, you just got to get good people. You surround yourself with good people and they'll have your back.
It's true. I mean, honestly, shit like that happens when I take steps outside of what I know works monetarily.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to take advantage of opportunities. But whenever you're doing some weird shit like that, when it's people who don't really engage in your business and they're like, oh, we got this idea. And then, you know what I mean? They don't give a fuck about any of the shit we stand for, any of these people's lives. They don't care about none of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just trying to fucking sell a few doohickeys or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I remember the first music video I ever made for someone I was so proud of, and then they never ended up releasing it, and I was so sad, because I genuinely didn't think it was bad, like, and I'm very hard on myself, and I was just like, why?
What did you do on it?
I directed, I DP'd, I edited, I was doing
and
I
they didn't
the whole
put
thing.
It out?
No, and I did it for very cheap.
Did they say why?
They said they were going in a different direction for the artist's brand. And then it never, but I didn't understand what that meant at the time.
Right.
And I still don't understand what that means.
That's bullshit industry talk.
You know, I still don't really understand what that means. And that was my very first ever attempt at a music video. And I was really terrified of messing it up. So when it wasn't released, it was just like the biggest blow to my ego.
Yeah, because you internalize that shit.
If,
for sure.
It was
sure.
just like, I felt so inept and inadequate. And I already directed at the time. So I knew I could direct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But doing all those roles and getting all the cast together, and I found this, it's not even around anymore. It was this old...
It's like a mental hospital,
it was
right?
But it's for women at the time. Like, back in, like, the 70s, they had, like, a mental institution, but only for women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, a term, I can't remember. But basically, it was a museum. And so I convinced them to let me have it for 3 hours for, like, either free... Or, yeah, I could be there for free, but... people were also on tour, and I felt so proud for pulling it off and like doing the whole thing, and it never came out.
Ugh,
and
that sucks, man.
I can empathize with the experience of like something happening and then me as a director / filmmaker being like, I'm worthless.
For real.
But you should definitely keep directing.
You did a great job. Thank you, and I would love to, and I probably have to, honestly, after doing that. Because the difference between, because even if I don't direct a lot of my videos, like, I have a hand in coming up with the concept.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, I feel so much better if I'm the one who's making the decision, I guess.
Yeah. It does. Can I ask when your birthday is?
November 14th.
So you're a Sagittarius?
No, I'm a Scorpio.
You're a Scorpio!
Yeah. But also, I used to be so into that shit. I don't give a fuck about it no more.
I just think there's something about wanting to make decisions.
Huh.
I mean, I don't believe in anything 100%, but like part of me thinks that me being wanting to be a director / being a director and being an Aries is funny because like everything I read about Aries is like, you're bossy, you're a leader, whatever. And I'm just like, I guess that lies.
Does anybody's zodiac ever call them like aggressively shitty? Like you're.
Mine does.
Well, does it?
Mine's.
Like bossy leader? That doesn't sound bad.
Mine is like a Gemini, and sometimes it's low key like you two-faced.
Yeah,
you're
I
like,
guess.
Okay, you can be trusted.
Fuck
yeah! It's kind of like you got sides to you. And you're like, the fuck?
You contain multitudes, girl.
Yeah.
But I think,
like, you can be shady to some people. It's like,
but I think you can make a great director, because I feel like for me, the first time I directed something, it was an experience I can't describe. Like, seeing something that I had imagined go to a piece of paper and then manifest physically in front of me.
It really is fucking special ass feeling.
It is a fucking trip see this, like, literal manifestation of your imagination coming to life in front of you.
Yeah, your creativity just
And I can't even imagine what it must be like to have that with your music going on in the background and your actual creative juices flowing through the whole thing.
And, you know, and I think, I don't know, just from that limited experience, and even if I think about some of the dope experiences I've had with other directors, you just think about, like, a fucking call sheet, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, a shot list specifically, like, and how, you know, you're determining whether or not your vision is going to be realized with this fucking list and these little boxes and these lines, like, and at the end of the day, if you've gotten all this, you have the fucking ability to tell, like, exactly the fucking story you want to tell. I'm like, damn, that shit is tight, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely, I mean, you have a gift for creative expression, so I'm not surprised that you can be a good director.
I think if I find a way to push past the negative
feeling of being cursed.
Yes, exactly.
Dude, you're,
then I'm.
I get it, but that's the forever creative struggle.
Sure.
Like every day I come to work and I'm like, this is the day I get fired.
Yeah,
and then in my, like, review, they're like, you're doing great, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally wearing a hat that says fraud.
Like, imposter syndrome.
That syndrome runs deep in my veins.
Yeah.
Like, it's a constant struggle, but. I mean, I told you before we started this, when we were outside, that I'm a huge fan. And so I want you to know that you're great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I've had your email in my notes probably 5 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. I forget who gave it to me. Someone was like, yeah, you should hit him up. And I was like, I can't just hit him up.
Yeah, you can. I'll come do anything here. I'll sweep the floors. I'll do whatever you want.
And then one day I was like, someone tweeted at us, like, please get Open My Eagle on. And I was like,
oh, they did?
I have.
Oh, it's like the Zeitgeist.
Yeah, Zeitgeist. Oh. And I was like, I have his email. Just do it. Just send an email.
Yeah.
It's like, that guy who did that, I love him.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Him motherfucker. Like, I love Tempe.
Tempe. And then he has another friend, Hidanas. There's two of them. They've been EA fans for a long time.
Oh,
they also
really?
Listen to our show. So they've been in our Twitter mentions for a long time now. They also have a podcast together.
They do.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that. I need to check it out.
Nice.
I forget what it is. I'm sorry, guys. I don't remember what it's called. I just know you exist and you.
They're dope, man. They're just super supportive and encouraging and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I really fuck with them.
Yeah. The supportive listeners are really what, like, I don't know. I don't think they realize, like I'll be having a really shitty day or a weird morning, and I'll get a message, and I'll just be like, okay, it's all worth it.
Right.
Like, you know, like,
maybe I'm not cursed after all.
Actually, it happened this morning. This morning, I...
Oh, yeah, someone tweeted at us something nice.
Oh, yeah, they did?
Yeah.
I was thinking of a message I got on Instagram. But
someone tweeted something nice at us,
I mean, that's
too.
Still really nice, too. I mean, I appreciate every one of those messages.
They said some show we guested on made their day, and I
really?
Was like, I don't even remember talking on that show.
oh, Creature Feature.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that message. I love that.
That's stuff where you're like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Katie Golden was here today that I saw. No, sorry, we're getting tangented. But those little messages, like, I got one today that was like, thank you for talking about your depression and, like, helping normalize what it means to be sad. It really helps me feel less alone. And it was like a longer message that I'm paraphrasing, but I was like reading it depressed in bed. And so I was like, you know what? Like, it has, at least there's some type of silver lining, you know? Just to remind everyone that they're not alone is like
the
least we could do.
I have one last question for you.
Sure.
Did you watch Southside?
Oh, yeah.
Southside.
On Comedy Central?
I saw the first two episodes.
Did you like it?
I did. I have a...
Incredibly realistic, yes.
Well, actually...
I
heard it is realistic. I just thought the comedy was also just amazing.
I think part of why the comedy is amazing is because it is very specific. And like like some of the personality styles of those people really fucking resonated.
You know, a lot of them are from the South Side.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's filmed in the South Side. Exactly. So I can only imagine if you're from the South Side, like you, if you can like recognize the places and stuff. That must be true.
They're, those guys, they're so funny. We had Sutan on. I cornered him at the roast of Alec Baldwin after party. And I was like, sorry, that's right. I'm industry. but I cornered him like, hi, I love your show.
And he came on.
Yeah, and then he came and did the show. I was like, damn,
okay. He was the nicest, most like humble dude.
The, yeah, the actors, the creators, the directors, the writers, everybody that I know, even like the Comedy Central execs and shit, like everybody who I know is associated with that show is like a fucking awesome
person.
Well,
that's because you just, like, the twins had never acted before. Like, they're just, the one who lives in like like, they are just like dudes that are like, they're fucking funny.
They're
real people that happen to be hilarious.
And no one was like, well, what's their Twitter or what's their Instagram following?
Right. Yeah.
You know, like,
I
it
really
wasn't,
like that.
Yeah, it didn't feel like, well, I don't know if we can sell this show.
It didn't feel curated. They being were, like, who's, like, let's hire someone that has a billion followers.
Or like, can Will Smith play this role? You know, like, it wasn't like.
Is Jane available?
Yeah, it wasn't bullshit. Like, they put out a fucking damn good show.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's good. I love it too.
You said you're from the South Side, so naturally I am. I have to talk about that show. If someone says the word South Side, I'm like, have you seen the show?
They're like, I'm from the South Side of LA. And you're like, oh, never mind.
I'm like, whatever. You should watch that side on Comedy Central.
This has been a lovely conversation.
I am like thrilled and encouraged and spiritually fed by it. Thank you very much.
That is the nicest feedback.
Wow. Yeah, it's actually really helpful for me.
Our engineer has texted me asking if we can ride out on Very Much Money, though.
Of course, if you'd like.
But that's just so blessing us on the day. That's so nice. Thank you, because Zach, maybe you don't know, Zach's my boyfriend. So we spend time driving and listening to your music, and we I don't know. Sometimes it's nice when you're singing about people and it's like you kind of have a sense like, oh, I think he's referencing this. It's like a weird like kind of like I know what he's talking about.
Again, like, and this industry.
You guys, you know me, just so deep industry. So much so I haven't left my house in days.
Oh.
Fun.
Yeah.
But you guys, I strongly encourage you to listen to Open Mike Eagles music.
Please do.
Look at our links for the YouTube link or search them on YouTube. The music videos are amazing.
Well, everything will be tagged. Yeah. All your life will be tagged below.
Yeah, all the life.
Your baby photos, everything.
Good.
We are going.
Yeah. Please send them to me.
I'll find them. Don't worry.
Yeah. Appreciate these like fucking great lyrics. I love it so much. You're
Thanks.
Great.
I'm working on some new shit right now.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hopefully have some new stuff ready to announce soon.
Yay. Too. Yeah. Okay.
Where can people find you, follow you?
Yeah.
Oh, Twitter, at @Mike_Eagle. And I talk about everything else there. So you can always look there for answers.
Oh, my God. I just remembered. You tweeted. Sorry. Oh, my God.
Oh, I've been having so much fun the last couple days.
I loved your tweet about the presidential candidates.
Yes,
and that
the is
anime.
The one I hoped you were referencing.
Oh, my God. Oh, the anime. And, okay, first of all, I kind of agree with one of the tweets saying the response was that Warren does not deserve Hunter X Hunter. I agree with that. Hunter X Hunter is too good for Warren.
Oh, is Warren bad?
She's not bad.
See, this is
But Hunter Hunter's too good.
Hunter Hunter's great, but I think she's kind of great. You know what I mean?
She's not the worst.
It's funny because this tweet was like this. It was kind of like a Rorschach thing for me when I put it out into the world because I'm like, I'm just going to say stuff that I mostly think is good, you know, with the people who I think are good. And there were a couple that I really loved the sword art. Oh, yes. Mayor Pete got the shade. Bloomberg got the shade and Biden got the shade. But everything else was like,
no.
Bleach.
I could tell that those three got the shade, but I just love that concept. The fact that SOA made sense for Pete, I was just like, you know what? Yeah. Like
everybody's so fucking mad. The anime community on Twitter has had it. They don't even know anything about me except they fucking hate me now.
Well, because I think it was fucking hilarious. Tweet.
I mean, I love it too, though, but that's the thing to me is like, I knew that this was going to like start a shitstorm. But I don't know. It's really fucking entertaining to me because I literally, other than those three, I threw shade at. I meant no harm at all.
No.
But there are people fucking living.
That's hilarious. I like Zig's first tweet. What the fuck? Zig. Just like Zig.
I love Zig. Yeah, oh man. My
just
god.
Out here immediately.
But no, I just love that. Okay, what I love about it, aside from the content itself, is that you're unifying these anime watchers with these like people that are also invested in politics, yeah, which is like a union I never thought possible.
And everybody is so sensitive about all of it. So yeah. There's no way to do anything like this that would not piss everybody off. And I don't know, for me, I found that highly entertaining. And I'm not usually the troll type. I usually like to leave people to fuck alone.
Yeah.
But this is so fucking entertaining to me to watch people get mad about this fucking stupid ass tweet.
Well, I just feel like right now there's... Anime is always, people are contentious about
it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You gotta be careful what you say about anime.
Yeah.
You know what? Cut this whole part out. No, I'm just joking. I am not looting my mentions for y'all.
Fucking Klobuchar, but, Attack on Titan. Fucking amazing. I just love that. One Punch Man. Yay. That makes sense.
I was proud of that one.
That would make so much sense. And even Birdie, like, I get JoJo. Whatever. I mean, like, oh my God.
I mean, to me, he's JoJo because, like, the fans can fuck it up for you. You know what I mean? Even though, like, I think they're both really good. I think the fandom can fuck it up for you.
That's a really good analysis.
So you were, like, really, like, thinking.
I thought about it. I wasn't proud of what I put for Steyr. I think I should have thought about that one a little longer. But
I mean, it's kind of reflective on Steyr.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, there you go.
But that's, I'm so glad I remembered that before you left. Okay. Okay, we're ethnically ambiguous. Ethnically amb on we're ethnically amb AMB on Twitter and ethnically ambig AMBIG on Instagram. I am Shirohiro on Instagram, SHEERO HERO, and then Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
Can I just say I just got a tweet from someone from Daily Zeitgeist and added at me, can I make a guest request more Mike Eagle?
Get the fuck out of here.
Wait, really?
24 minutes
get
ago
the fuck
I got
out of
this.
Here. That's crazy.
What? Hey, wait, on Twitter?
But also I had so much fucking fun doing that
show. Thank
you. And this one. And I'm telling you, I will come back up here anytime doing anything.
I need to get you back because I need to get you with Jack and Miles.
Yes, exactly.
Because I forget who was guest host.
Caitlin.
Oh, Caitlin. Yeah. Caitlin. Oh, Caitlin's great too.
Yeah,
but,
man.
Okay, yeah, I'll get you back. Don't worry about it. That's a fun show because... Oh, the world's gonna burn.
Just different every time.
Everyday content.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're gonna have to come back on this one too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep bugging you. Don't
please,
worry about it.
I'll just fucking move in.
Please.
Yeah.
Please do. It'd be nice to have a roommate.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, just have a friend.
I'll keep the place clean.
You don't have to sweep, Mike.
It's okay.
I know. It's carpet, man. Don't worry about it.
That sounds treacherous on the biceps.
You come back, you're like super buff. Yeah. Like, damn, dude.
It's like, I love
it's very clean.
Yeah. Did you say your handle?
I did.
Oh, I'm at Anna Hosea on Twitter.
And until next time...
Stay listening to Open Mike Eagle.
Please.
Yeah, stay open.
And then we're going to ride out on...
Yeah.
Where's the money, though?
Very much money.
Very much money. I'm losing my mind.
That's fine.
Very much money, though. I almost said GoPro because he also texted me about his GoPro. Where's the GoPro? Just joking. Very much money, though. So enjoy. And go look at all our links in the footnotes to follow Mike everywhere. Goodbye.
Bye!
Thanks, bye!
Restaurant crown on my hip like Simon Petrikoff. Thought of a song called Thinking of Master Plans. Rigging and Rockin', drinking in Amsterdam. Cafe back room, meeting with Cancer Man. Engineering project, black astronaut. The first scene in the film Prometheus. I wrote a brand new story that starts from there. Just need some help with the financing. I ain't got nobody to pitch it to. My friends are superheroes. None of us have very much money though. They can fly, run fast, read Portuguese. None of us have very much money though. They know judo and yoga, photography, politics. Some of them leap over buildings. Writers, magicians, comedians, astronauts. None of it mattered when niggas was hungry. My friends are superheroes. None of us have very much money though. They wear the same underwear as billionaires. None of us have very much money though. Hustlers, beatmakers, drug dealers, sculptors, egomaniacal authors and bloggers. Some of them talk to the animals. None of it mattered when niggas was hungry. That shit's not valuable. Come say it to my face. That shit's not valuable. Come say it to my face. It's all disposable. Say it to my face. I was a open this device might cure my remembering. I'm 87% sure I invented it. High adrenaline and rapping on the cake boss. Name on the dressing room so I ain't lost. Commencing countdown, take off another sound stage, rehearsing a fake spacewalk. Lil Wayne is an ancient African. Jay-Z's been around since the 20s though. The only new ones is Lil B and One Below. We only got 100 months to go until your hometown's covered in tons of snow. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little Indians. When it's all over, I survive on the penny gum chips and the flavored memory sticks, and I'll flash, take a picture. 'Cause I remember that shit's not valuable. Come say it to my face. That shit's disposable. Come say it to my face. It's not authentic though. Come say it to my face. That's so ingenuine. Come say it to my face. My friends are superheroes. None of us have very much money though. They can fly, run fast, read Portuguese. None of us have very much money though. They can make hair grease out of fruits and herbs. None of us have very much money though. They can take selfies like Du Buffet. None of us have very much money though.
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at NerdWallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.